This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Movie. We got a lot of stuff to get into coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament coming up at 3:15. And there's only one thing that needs to happen between now and the Final Four. We'll talk about it. Plus, one of my friends is in a dilemma. We'll talk about his situation. We'll also give to Brandon Kiley has been itching to tell us his bracket tips. He said that he has figured out the March Madness. He's figured out how to fill out brackets. He has a foolproof formula to help you win your bracket challenge. So you don't lose to Amy from down the street, or you don't lose to Sally, who works at the front desk. He has a way to help you move on. We'll talk about that. And Kansas City really has a chance to be the big winner when it comes to the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about that. But maybe it is just BK and I. I love contract information. Maybe some of you are like, I don't care about how much they make. I don't care about how their contract is structured. It's not my money. I just want to see them play football. You guys talk too much about it, and I get that. But I love contract information. It's a salary cap league. Everybody's contract fits in a puzzle to try to build the best 53-man roster possible for you to go out there. So Dee Ford's contract information came out. I'm surprised the Chiefs didn't really appear to have much interest in the contract that Dee Ford ultimately signed. If you really look at his deal and get aside from the five-year, $87.5 million deal that he signed with the San Francisco 49ers, that is not real. These NFL contracts are not real. Justin Houston signed 6 years, $101 million. Wasn't real. Dee Ford, so he signed 5 years, $87.5 million. That's not what it is. Then we get the second part of the information. Dee Ford essentially signed with the San Francisco 49ers a one-year deal for less than $20 million. That's what it was. San Francisco traded a future second-round draft pick for the best pass rusher in free agency, in my opinion, in Dee Ford. All they had to give up was a second-round draft pick in 2020 and a one-year contract for $19.75 million. And then, in a baseball arbitration-like maneuver, they have 4 one-year contracts after that. So many of you, and myself included, did not want to pay Dee Ford long-term. I don't trust his back. I don't trust his production. I don't want Dee Ford on the team long-term. But I was very emphatic and I was very clear that I would like Dee Ford on a one-year deal. That's what he got. He got a one-year deal. He got a one-year deal for a little bit more money than what Kansas City was going to pay him. Which it's $4 million. I'm not sneezing at $4 million. But then they have 4 years of club control. So let's say that Dee Ford only balls out for this 1 year. Let's say he goes out there this year and has 20 sacks. I'm pretty sure that San Francisco's picking up that option for the second year. Hey, we'll bring you back on that. And then let's say midway into, not next season, but 2 seasons from now, Dee Ford has another back injury. He misses 9 games. They then hold all the cards, all the leverage. You either restructure this contract or we're outright cutting you. It's that simple. I'm surprised that the Chiefs had no interest in this deal. But I think the Chiefs told you from the very beginning, BK, we're not bringing Dee Ford back. Think about the information we heard right when they franchise tagged him. Every single piece of information, all the smoke was in trading him to another team. Very little did you hear about it. Think about it. They traded him before free agency started. They made the decision to move on from Dee Ford months ago, if not a year ago, and that regardless of what happens this season, we're going to move on from Dee Ford. We're going to franchise tag him so we control his rights, and then we're going to try to trade him to somewhere else. I'm surprised that the Chiefs didn't have any interest, or certainly not a lot of interest, in bringing Dee Ford back on what is essentially a one-year contract, given the fact of he just kind of hit the open market, and that's exactly what San Francisco gave him.
I think there were two signs, pretty clear-cut signs, that this was the case. I mean, I think you're right. I think the Chiefs just weren't going to have Dee Ford as part of the team next year. The first one was when we saw reports that the Chiefs were listening to a third-round pick. That was a pretty glaring red light suggesting, okay, maybe they're not as interested in this guy being on the team as we thought. The second one was when they actually made the trade. They didn't get a single asset that's going to help them for this year other than the cap space. They traded Dee Ford for cap space. And so when we saw those two things, the report first of the potential third-round pick, and then trading him for a 2020 second-round pick, getting nothing in return that's going to help them when they're in a championship hunt, that's when I knew, okay, the Chiefs just didn't want Dee Ford on the roster this year.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, he doesn't play the run, he's not a good fit. You're right. The Chiefs traded Dee Ford for a future draft pick and cap space. And I'd also say, to add in, they traded him for the flexibility to go do something else. Because if they had gotten Earl Thomas with that, it basically would have been that for Earl Thomas, for getting Dee Ford off the team, you got Earl Thomas on a one-year, $12 million fully guaranteed deal and $3 million and a future draft pick. That would have been how we all would have spun it, and I would have applauded the Chiefs if that was the move. But that wasn't the move. Now let's see what they do, because I don't think the Chiefs are done. I think they're going to make one more big-time move in free agency. I don't know what that big-time move is, but I don't think you have the mindset to go get Tyrann Mathieu and still be interested in signing Earl Thomas. And then now that you miss on Earl Thomas, you're done. I still think that one more big-time move is here for this team.
The Chiefs have essentially signed Tyrann Mathieu. They signed Bashaud Breeland. And then they went out and signed the defensive end, Alex Okafor, with the money that they would have otherwise been utilizing to have Dee Ford on the roster. C-Dot, if you could have one of those two situations, if it was an either-or situation for the Chiefs, and I don't know that it was, but apparently they may have looked at it that way, would you rather have Tyrann Mathieu, Alex Okafor, and Bashaud Breeland, or just Dee Ford for the defense?
I think you'd rather have the Tyrann Mathieu option. If
I
those
think
are
maybe
the two
that's
options,
the way they're looking at it. Maybe that's what they were looking at is, hey, on one hand, we can have Dee Ford. He's just a pass rusher, and that's all that he's going to give us next year. On the other hand, we can have a defensive end that we think helps us against the run, a corner that will at least add a little bit of stability to the position, and Tyrann Mathieu, who we think can be the leader of the entire defensive side of the ball. I think maybe that's the way that they were looking at this.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the NCAA tournament and talk about it in a national sense and also get into it again from a local perspective. Another thing with the Kansas City Chiefs is Jordy Nelson's name popped up a little bit today. Now, Jordy Nelson is a free agent. He was last year on the Oakland Raiders. He had a decent season, especially given at where he is age-wise in his career. Well, he has come back up in free agency, and he is doing the world tour right now. I feel like half the damn league is interested in Jordy Nelson. No less than seven teams are interested in Jordy Nelson. Everybody wants to bring him in for a visit. The Titans, the Seahawks, your Kansas City Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody wants to bring him in. I like Jordy Nelson at the right price. If you're telling me you can get Nelson on a one-year, $3.5-4 million deal, he can essentially be Chris Conley and what you have him. I don't think Nelson's coming in here asking for a lot of targets. He's a good locker room guy, going to play his position, and then a good portion of the fan base likes him, even if you're not a K-State fan. Who has an issue with Jordy Nelson? He's just a really good guy. I've met him a couple times. Love Jordy Nelson. Got no issues with Jordy Nelson. This is the kind, I like this move. I don't know if they're going to get him because I assume like most NFL deals, and maybe with Jordy it's a little bit different. Maybe he's trying to go find a ring situation. I doubt it, given the fact that you signed last year in a free agent contract to the Oakland Raiders. Winning a ring wasn't that important to you last season.
You got money, though, there.
Yeah, I'm not going to fault you. But when I look at the teams and who are interested in you, Seattle's interested in you. The Patriots are interested. Tennessee, certainly wide receiver dependent. I feel like they've been looking for a wide receiver for 9 years now, it feels like. Kansas City and Oakland, even though they just cut you, would still like for you to come back. I would be all for Jordy Nelson signing here in Kansas City on a one-year, $3 million, maybe a heavy incentive-laden contract, similar to what you just signed, Bashaud Breeland. If he gets so many catches, if he's on the field for X number of snaps, and a little bit of Sammy Watkins protection. This is not Buzz Killington here. I don't know if you trust Sammy Watkins to be on the field for 16 games. But if he gives you 12 games next year, and then in his absence, Jordy Nelson can step up and be that number two, I think that's a better option than DeMarcus Robinson. I think that's a better option than Chris Conley. I'm all for bringing in Jordy Nelson on that 1 year, not a prove it kind of deal, but a veteran kind of contract.
I think they need some stability at the position. And if nothing else, and coaches see more value in this than fans do, but coaches love a guy who's going to be in the right place at the right time on every play. And Jordy Nelson, if nothing else, is going to bring you that. And with the question surrounding Tyreek Hill now, the fact that Sammy Watkins every year misses at least four games with a foot injury, and you never know really if DeMarcus Robinson's going to be in the right spot. You want that kind of a guy on the roster at some point.
Do you think he's the last one in? First to leave? Do you think he's the play for the name or the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey?
I was just saying the dude's been in the league for like 15 years.
Do you think he's gritty? Do you think he has deceptive speed?
I'm sure.
Do you think he's sneakily athletic? Do you think he has a high IQ? Do you think he's a coach's kid?
I'm sure that.
I don't know if that's the case.
He did grow up on a farm.
I'm just asking if that. He did grow up on a farm. I believe he's from like Riley County or something. I believe. I like Jordy Nelson. I got absolutely no issue with Jordy Nelson. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the NCAA tournament. There's only one thing that needs to happen this year. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Text line 69306. CDOT, don't you realize that it's March? My apologies. We'll get back to the NCAA tournament here in just a little bit. But to get you further away from March, I've got a
toss up.
All right, BK. One got to go. Because we were just talking about Jordy Nelson, who the Chiefs are interested in picking up. One got to go. At their peak, one got to go. Wes Welker, Jordy Nelson, Adam Thielen, Julian Edelman. At their peak, Welker. One got to go. I'm saying is you got a third down. It's third and eight. Who of these do you not trust the least? Who is the less gritty of these players? Who lacks the high football IQ? Who's not putting the extra 100 catches on the jugs machine out of Wes Welker, Jordy Nelson, Adam Thielen, Julian Edelman?
This is in their prime.
Peak Wes Welker, peak Jordy, peak Adam Thielen, peak Julian Edelman. One got to go.
If I were to power rank them, I think you got to go Welker number one. And Welker's getting you that third.
Welker was a dog.
Time. Welker was a 100% chance he's going across the middle. He's getting slammed by a linebacker, getting some kind of concussion that he doesn't tell anybody about. And he gets up and gets the next one for you. I think the number two pick is Edelman. And then
over Thielen? Thielen was a beast.
He was for like 7 weeks. And then all of a sudden something happened and he
stopped. Kirk Cousins happened. Nothing changed with him.
I think I'd go Welker, Edelman, Jordy, and Thielen. I can't believe I ranked it that way, but in terms of like third and eight, you got to get it. I think that's what I'm going with.
Someone said, what about Wayne Krabet?
Ooh.
That's what we should have did a bracket of just white wide receivers to find who the greatest one of all time was.
Have the Chiefs really had one?
I used to love, you know why I used to love?
Bo Richter.
Ed McCaffrey. McCaffrey was my guy. I loved Ed McCaffrey.
He doesn't fit the stereotype, though. He was like an outside guy that was going deep.
I mean, just so was Jordy Nelson, but he white, so... That's who you are. So if you're a white wide receiver, you're Wes Welker. I don't know. I can't compare you to anybody else. You're Wes Welker.
There's this guy in the draft. His name's Andy Isabella. He runs a 4.3, and people just don't know what to do with him. They're just confused.
That's like Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow can't wait to be Julian Edelman. So getting back into March, as I know the NCAA tournament is days away. I think this year it is completely wide open aside from one team. That every year, or most years, maybe is a better way of putting it, I think there is pressure on one team where they have to have tournament success. That all of us understand the crapshoot, which is the NCAA tournament. You never know who's going to twist an ankle. You don't know about foul trouble. You don't know who's going to shoot well. I think we all know that we are trying to determine a champion by six consecutive win or go home kind of games, which makes for incredible theater, doesn't make for a great way to determine your champion, but it's really fun. The only thing that we agree has to happen in this NCAA tournament is Duke has to go to the Final Four. Duke cannot miss the Final Four. KU fans, I don't have to tell you this. I'm not even saying this as a dig, even though you guys might take it that way. You guys have had your team in which you think we should have made the Final Four. Every major conference team, or more specifically, every blue blood team that Duke is, has had the roster in which you feel like that team was talented enough, the bracket broke the right way, you had the right combination of talent, you had the right coach, you had the right seed, the right region, in which you should have gone to the Final Four. Kansas had a game at Sprint Center against Oregon and Jordan Bell. You had Frank Mason, you had Josh Jackson, you had Devontae Graham. That team should have made the Final Four. But again, one game crapshoot. You lose the game. You don't play as well. Guys don't ball out the way that they're supposed to ball out. You lose in the NCAA tournament. Kentucky, which still blows my mind how this happened. Kentucky had John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Eric Bledsoe all on one team. and didn't make the Final Four, if you're telling me that Coach K is going to have R.J. Barrett, who's going to be what, a top five pick in the NBA draft, if he's going to have Cameron Reddish, who's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft, and if he's going to have not a once-in-a-4 or 5 years player, maybe a once-in-a-generational college player, you have to make the Final Four. It's that simple. Especially when you look at their region. Their region ain't even that good. It's not like Duke's in the murderer's row of region that we feel like the committee didn't make them any favors. If anything, you could argue that the committee made Duke's region more favorable to ensure they got to the Final Four. Duke's only lost 2 times this season when Zion Williamson's played. If he's fully healthy and playing in this, there's absolutely no reason why Duke doesn't make the Final Four. Then obviously, Coach K's legacy is 100% solidified. I think he's the greatest college basketball coach of all time, even greater than John Wooden when you factor in the difference in which it is today as opposed to when Wooden was a coach. And I got all the respect in the world for what John Wooden accomplished at UCLA. It's going to be the biggest disappointment of Coach K's career if Zion Williamson doesn't make the Final Four. And it's going to be a disservice to all of us. He's the star of college basketball. I'm not even joking. Aside from KU, K-State, and Missouri, name 5 players in the NCAA tournament. It's going to struggle for you to come up with them. Aside from the 3 I just named. Who's on Gonzaga's team? Who's on North Carolina's team? Who's on Tennessee or Michigan? If you're not a diehard college basketball fan, you probably don't know. And I'm not even saying that as a knock. That's just a sport with one and dones and turnover and all this kind of stuff. This season has been wrapped in the success of Zion Williamson.
Purdue is a 3 seed. How many people in our audience do you think could name 1 player that plays for Purdue this year? They won the Big Ten.
No clue. Honest, no clue. I'm serious, no clue. I know this. I follow sport. I'm not blaming you guys if you don't know. That this tournament, I think, is really fun from the fact of it's going to create a star. Just like last year, whenever Sister Mary was a star and Steph Curry became a star, there's going to be a star that emerges in the NCAA Kimba. Tournament. But there is one already in place that all of us want to see. If you haven't watched Zion Williamson play yet, you are going to be in for a treat. This is the closest that we've gotten to watching LeBron James without watching LeBron. And I say that as someone who loves LeBron. You guys know. Love LeBron. This is the closest that we've gotten. So Duke absolutely needs to make the Final Four. Anything else is fun here. I think the 2 best teams in the tournament are Duke and North Carolina. I can see 25 teams making Final Four runs because it's just that kind of year. Like, this is not going to be the chalk year that I think everybody is predicting. I'm seeing everybody predicting 3 number 1 seeds. College basketball is just too unpredictable this year. The high-end stars don't exist, so it's going to be a team like K-State that makes a run, a team like Loyola Chicago that makes a run, a team like VCU that makes a run. I feel very confident in that. Not even some hot take going on a limb. I feel very confident in this. But this year's NCAA tournament, this year's Final Four, this year's viewer needs Zion Williamson and Duke to advance in the NCAA tournament.
I feel like Auburn and Iowa State in their respective conference tournaments were kind of a microcosm of what college basketball is this year. Like, Auburn is one of the most difficult teams to predict and what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. But when they're at their best, they can win the whole SEC tournament. Same thing for Iowa State. When they're at their best, they are great. They could also lose any given night. Like, they could easily lose in the first round of the tournament. Auburn could easily lose in the first round of the tournament. They could also make a run to the Elite Eight, and it wouldn't shock me.
I think you can make the argument for 20 teams.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if K-State loses in the first round. No knock on K-State. Good team. They don't shoot well. No Dean Wade. UC Irvine gets a little bit of a boost.
Play a slow pace.
Their fans show up. The other team's fans turn on the favorite, root for the underdog. You lose.
Somebody gets in foul trouble. Dean Wade's out. All of a sudden, you're down to 4 guys that you feel comfortable with in the lineup.
That I would say how college basketball is this season. I feel really good about Duke. I like North Carolina. Everything else is a toss-up in this year's NCAA tournament. And there's some good teams. Michigan's a good team. Tennessee was a good team before the last half of the season. I like Auburn this year. But I'm telling you guys, college basketball, you the viewer, Zion Williamson and Duke has to make the Final Four, I think, for this tournament to be worth it. Coming up in just a little bit, speaking of the tournament, Brandon Kiley has compiled his tips to help you win your office pool. We'll do it next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in just a little bit, text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. Dude, how is Bruce in Manhattan not on yet? Patience, young grasshopper. Patience. Bruce Manhattan coming up in 15 minutes. Another text. Have you guys already announced the winner for the Oklahoma City trip? We'll do that at 5 o'clock. We're not leaving you guys hanging. We got Chiefs talk. We got bracket talk. Right here on The Drive. So, we'll hear from Bruce Manhattan coming up in just a little bit. BK has been itching to do this segment all day. You know how when somebody knows they have a good idea, he's like, ooh, Carrington, I got a topic for tomorrow. What is it, BK? I've got my bracket tips.
Nobody's doing that today.
I've figured out the NCAA tournament. Like, oh, really? Like, you cheer for Missouri. How have you figured out the NCAA tournament? But he said that he's got his tips, and he is going to help you win your office pool because, let's face it, Sally, the secretary, has been whooping your ass in the bracket pool for the last 4 years, and you're tired of it.
And she's just picking on mascots.
You're tired of it. You normally just pick with Kansas to have them advance far in the NCAA tournament. That's not a good strategy this year. That you need a new strategy. So BK is here to help you out with his bracket tips.
All right, let's start with the first one for you, C-Dot. I feel like people normally do this. We're going to give it anyways. Advance all your number one seeds to the Sweet 16.
Oh!
I know it didn't help you last year.
Pick the good teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
To advance in the NCAA tournament.
It's a big one.
Oh, so my number goodness. One what seeds, a tip.
Just go ahead and their first two games, they're going to win. They're 71-1 in the first round. All right, looking at you, Virginia. 61-10 in the second round. It's a safe bet. Just go ahead and move them to the Sweet 16.
During the bracket selection show and they announced Virginia as a one seed, Greg Gumbel was like, and you know what happened last year? Virginia, you got to go to the Final Four so we never have the you know what happened last year. Because until you go to the Final Four, we will always bring up the fact of you lost to a 16 seed. And it wasn't like your best player was hurt and then they won on a last second jump shot. No, you got 20. Smoked by a 16 seed. Smoked. So you got to go to the Final Four.
The second tip for you. At least one of your number two seeds will not make it to the Sweet 16. They're losing in either the first or the second round. See, now we have experience with this.
Can I go ahead and tell you who that is? Tennessee.
Hey, that was my pick.
Tennessee's not winning. Tennessee is going to win the first game, maybe. And they're one market down. Tennessee is losing in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So it's the most obvious thing to see in this entire bracket.
In the last 20 years, all four of your number two seeds made it to the Sweet 16 just once. That was in 2009. Watch out for Tennessee. That was my pick in the second round. They match up against Cincinnati, potentially. If Tennessee has one weakness, it's they give up a ton of second chance points. Cincinnati, one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. That's a bad matchup for them. Tennessee would be my pick to not make it to the Sweet 16 among the two seeds. Third tip for you, C-Dot. Three seeds right around 500 in the second round over the last 8 years. So pick a three seed to lose in the second round.
Who you got? Take your pick.
If I'm going to look for one, tell LSU. Part of it is, you know, the whole off-court investigation thing.
They're obvious.
Part of it is that they're no good defensively. They can't shoot. So whether it's Belmont or Maryland, I think either team's capable of the upset. Yeah, that would be my obvious team to pick.
That's obvious that LSU's.
Who you got?
LSU, no, that's
that
obvious.
That would be your team, too?
They're obvious.
All right.
SEC has definitely lost a little bit of its luster from the beginning of the season. A little bit of luster.
Fourth tip for you. This will be with the number four seeds. At least one of them going to lose in the first round. So pick somebody.
Oh, I know who that's going to be.
Number four seed has lost in the first round 8 of the last 11 years. I hate doing it, C-Dot. I think it's going to be different than the one that you're going to say.
Go ahead and let those nuts hang blood and pick Kansas.
It's K-State. They play slow. They're without arguably their best player. If a four seed's going to lose in the first round, I think K-State's the team that has the ingredients to
make
it happen.
What kind of unity are you trying to promote on this show?
Hey, man, I'm trying to help people win. I got to get them that money that they're going to win whenever they win their bracket challenge. I can't let Sally win again. So we got to give them the real.
Sally been whooping y'all ass in the bracket buster
challenge. You don't actually believe KU's going to lose in the first round, right?
No, I don't think they're going to lose. I'm hoping that they lose. The show we're going to do on Friday, if they lose in the first round, it's going to be great. It's going to
be
a great show.
Well, it happens Thursday.
Oh, yes. Yo, it's Thursday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I forgot. Oh, my goodness. Me doing live play-by-play of Kansas losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament, we might break radio records here on The Drive. We might break radio records. I'm guessing whatever Game 7 was of the World Series on 610 Sports Radio, I'm sure it did well. This might break it of me giving you live play-by-play of Kansas losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
C-Dot with basically the Jack Buck effect. The number five tip for you. You got to have at least one Cinderella story. Everybody knows this, but in 32 of the last 38 years, at least one team seeded sixth or lower reached the Elite Eight. That means you got to have somebody getting there.
Can't have it all chalky.
My team to watch for you is once again Cincinnati. Even if you don't believe in Cincinnati the way that I do, go ahead and look at the South region. That's where you should have somebody coming out, because eight of the slowest teams in this bracket, eight of the 11 slowest teams in the entire NCAA tournament are in the South region. Slow games, most likely to produce upsets. Just look at what happened with Virginia a year ago. That's my bracket that I would pick if you don't believe in Cincinnati the way that I do. Who's your Cinderella seedot? You got anybody yet? Doesn't have to be like a Belmont or something, but just a lower seed.
I like Nevada. I think Nevada's a good team. I think they're a little bit underseeded. Them or Buffalo. I'm kind of looking at that West region the same as you're looking at the South region.
All right. Then the last one that I've got for you. This is the upset special, the 12 seed. We all know you got to pick a 12 over a 5. It's the classic upset in the first round. 12 seeds have won at least one game 26 of the last 30 years. They've won two or more games 12 of the last 18 years. The 12 seed, in my opinion, to watch this year is Murray State. If there is a Kimba candidate in this tournament, it's Murray State's point guard, Ja Morant. He's probably a top five pick in next year's NBA draft. You're going to want to watch him. You're going to want to watch that game in general, because Marquette has a really good player as well that's going to be going pretty high in the NBA draft. So the upset special for me, the 12 seed, it would be Murray State. Who you got there?
I think that's the best individual matchup in round one of the NCAA tournament. I like Oregon in the first round over Wisconsin.
Get Wisconsin out of here.
That's the one I would probably pick. I can't wait for that Kansas State-Wisconsin game that's going to be 38-37.
That entire region's going to be tough to watch.
At the end of overtime.
So, your recap here. Advance your one seeds. There's going to be a number two seed that will not make it to the Sweet 16. The three seeds, you want to pick at least one of them to lose in the second round. A four seed's going to lose in the first round. Have yourself a Cinderella. And finally, make sure you get a 12 seed over a five. That is the way that you beat Sally in your NCAA tournament bracket challenge.
Gotta beat Sally this year. Gotta beat Sally. Sally's been whooping you guys for a long time. This is the thing, and maybe it's the same as fantasy football. As I've come around on fantasy football, I am still emphatically on team I'm not filling out a bracket. I'm team.
Really?
I haven't filled out a bracket since I was in high school. I don't fill out brackets. I would consider filling out a bracket if somebody made a generous donation to charity. That's the only way I'm interested in doing a bracket this year. But I have come around on fantasy football. None of us know what we're talking about in fantasy football. None of us know. I certainly don't know. I watch a lot of football and read a lot about football. I'm terrible at fantasy football. Terrible at it. I picked Doug Martin 1 week. He gets 27 carries for 51 yards.
You do daily, though, right? You just don't do season long?
Yeah, I don't do season long. And then when I don't pick Doug Martin, he has 9 carries for 180 yards and 4 touchdowns. I don't know anything about fantasy football. None of us, the more college basketball you watch, the worse you are at brackets. I watch a lot of college basketball. I attend a lot of college basketball games. I follow the sport. I'm in the 1% when it comes to college basketball. I would never do this because I know it's not going to end well for me. And I never want to have the emotional attachment in these games in which I know I don't know. Some of you guys like the thrill of it, of you latch on to a Buffalo to advance in the NCAA tournament. I hate it. I don't want to be put in a position in which I'm arguing for Arizona State over Buffalo. That's not the position I want to be in. I don't want to be in the position of where I'm arguing against Wofford. I don't want to be in that position. Seton Hall, you know, you're trying to zig when everybody's zagging, so you pick Seton Hall to be trendy, but Wofford and them are locked in a tight one. I don't want that anxiety. For those of you that do, I appreciate you. I understand it. Somebody has to fill out brackets.
Yeah, that person, that's who I'm talking to right now.
But I'm saying the 7 of you that listen in the 3 o'clock hour, 5 of you fill out brackets. I'm not faulting you for that. There's 2 of you that don't, and that's who I do the show for. The 2 of you that don't fill out brackets. To know, to be strong in your integrity of being team no bracket. Team no bracket is better than team all the brackets. Some of you out there, and you know the guy I'm talking about, you have Murray State in one. You've got Buffalo in one bracket. You've got Wofford in another one. And then when one of those teams is the sleeper, see, I told you, well, I would hope so. You got 9 brackets you're filling out. I would hope that you picked a sleeper if you got 9 brackets out there.
I figured it out. I figured out why our strategy isn't working right now, CDOT. I figured out why we're in 12th place. It's because Carrington Harrison over here is talking to the 2 people instead of the 5.
My bad.
Maybe we should find a new way to do this.
My goal is by the end of this month is to try to get us to 9 listeners in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm doing seemingly everything in my power.
You're talking to 2
to try to
five.
Make that possible. Coming up in just a little bit, Kansas City is the big winner in all of the March Madness hoopla. Plus, Bruce in Manhattan decided to call and talk to us about his seeding. We'll catch up with Bruce in Manhattan coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get back into your Kansas City Chiefs, because I think it's pretty clear what their checklist was as they are trying to build a championship-level defense. We'll talk a little football coming up here in just a little bit. But it's March. We're talking a little March Madness, and I've been trying to fight it for a long time, but I'm old, and I try to have honest conversations with you guys. I told you guys last week about a mistake and a problem that I had. You guys made fun of me. This is something else I need to be open and talk to you guys about, and we'll talk about it coming up here in just a little bit. I was very curious to know what the get-in price was for the 2015 World Series at Kauffman Stadium. So we Googled it. It was $363. If you wanted to be in Kauffman Stadium for Game 1 of the World Series back in 2015, and let me tell you, if you were there, it was a great time. I was there. It was a lot of fun. It was an amazing time. I'll never forget. I don't think I've ever told you the story before, BK. I went with one of my friends. His girlfriend drove and dropped him off, so she didn't have to pay. So he didn't have to pay for parking. He then called her at the beginning of the 9th inning and said, "Hey, the game's about to end. Come pick me up." The game then did not end in the bottom of the 9th inning. She then had to wait outside for the entire extra inning. She's not from America, so she didn't really understand why he would lie in that scenario.
Oh,
it was a very funny fight. But that's neither here nor there. So it was $363 as a get-in price for the World Series in 2015. Tell me if I'm wrong. If Kansas City hosts any of the combination of the three teams that can make it to the Sweet 16 and play in the Kansas City region, any combination, I'm talking of out of Kansas, North Carolina, Iowa State, and Kentucky. Tell me that the get-in price is not higher than the World Series. It's going to be a $400. You're telling me that there's a chance that Iowa State plays Kentucky in Sprint Center? Talk about supply and demand. There aren't enough seats, I think, for that. You get Iowa State fans who take over Kansas City going up against the number one college fan base in the country, which is certainly an easy drive for people that live in Lexington. What is an 8-hour, 9-hour drive? It's nothing over the weekend. Make a weekend trip, see your team go to another Final Four. Kentucky fans are taking over Power and Light, trying to take over Sprint Center. And if you think about how, it's not like it's a secret what Iowa State does. Believe me, Kentucky knows. Big Blue Nation knows that Iowa State has the reputation of taking over Sprint Center and Power and Light. And they're going to try to do the exact same. I'm not saying you need all four of those teams, because that would be ideal for Kansas City, for Power and Light, for buzz, for interest. That would be a lot of fun. Tell me if it's not any combination of those three teams, whether it's Carolina, Kansas, Iowa State, or Kentucky, that it's not a $400 get into Sprint Center. It's going to be insane if that ends up being the case. I feel pretty comfortable that at least two of those teams are going to be there. We don't know yet about Kansas or Iowa State.
I think the big thing that we also have to keep in mind here is how much more of an emotional attachment there is for somebody with their college team than there is with the pro team. Like, we were all excited about the fact that the Royals were in the World Series. It's different, though, when it's your college team. Like, Sita, you probably have a different emotional response when Mizzou does something than you do when the Chiefs do something, right?
They don't really do anything very often, so I don't really have that many emotional responses. I don't even know what emotions are when it comes to Missouri. They don't do
Fair
anything.
Enough. I would just say, like, there's a different connection that people have with their college basketball, college football teams than they do with their pro team. So I think that plays into this as well. I just wonder, because KU, North Carolina, and Kentucky have been in that spot so often, do you think that changes anything for them?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's always different when you got a chance to see your team go to the Final Four, which is what it's going to be. And again, it's a nice weekend trip to come to Kansas City. It's an easy drive for three of those four teams. Certainly an easy drive for KU. Definitely an easy drive for Iowa State and Kentucky. It's not an impossible drive. I mean, that's an 8-hour drive, not a drive you can easily make in a day if they make it to the Final Four. It's going to be insane if that's the case. I'm telling you, it's going to be a higher get-in price than what it was for the World Series. Now, a lot of that's just due to supply and demand. There were way more seats at Kauffman Stadium than there are for this. And there's only 18,000 seats. a certain allotment goes to these teams, a certain allotment goes to people that are influential in Kansas City, a certain sponsors and all that kind of stuff. So the market of people that can buy tickets at a reasonable price is not going to be there. And just economics, supply and demand, that's what I think it's going to be. That's the best case scenario. The most realistic scenario is that three of those four teams get there. I doubt you get the perfect storm of all four. If that's the case, make $500 to get into that place if all four of those teams. If you're telling me on one ticket, you can see Kansas play North Carolina and Roy Williams return, and you can see Iowa State go up against Kentucky all on one ticket, yes, that's a $450, $500 get-in for that weekend session, and that is instantly, aside from Zion Williamson, and depending on who makes it in that one, that is easily the best ticket non-Final Four-wise that possible in the NCAA tournament.
It's a big win for Kansas City. I think, like, when I was watching the reveal, the number one thing that I noticed was the fact that the Midwest was pretty clearly the best region. Like, in terms of firepower, in terms of the number of name-brand teams, I mean, you've got UNC, KU, and Kentucky all in one region. That's insane. The possibility of that being here is awesome.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Kansas City Chiefs, but many of you are asking for friend of the show. You guys know Bruce in Manhattan loves to call in. I'm assuming he's not happy. I don't think the committee did K-State a lot of favors. You go out, you win the Big 12, you break the streak. You don't lose in the first round to West Virginia, which seemed to be very difficult for a lot of teams in the Big 12. I think the committee should show you a little bit more love than what they showed you. Maybe the loss against A&M did you no favors. Maybe the loss against Tulsa did you no favors. I think that carried a little bit too much weight at the end of the season. And Bruce, he normally doesn't call in happy. We don't get Bruce in Manhattan after a big-time win over Texas Tech or Oklahoma. He only calls in when they beat Kansas, which isn't very often, or he's very unhappy about something. Here's what Bruce in Manhattan had to say about K-State's draw in the NCAA tournament.
Everybody, it's Bruce in Manhattan. You know who's got two thumbs and doesn't give a f*** about where we're placed in the tournament? This guy. Well, here's the other thumb. I'm missing the other one. But everybody's saying, well, how come Kansas gets to play at the Sprint Center? How come you had a better year? You won the conference. Doesn't matter. We don't give two f***s about where we play because we're going to stomp all over UC Irvine, and then we're going to beat either Wisconsin or Oregon, and Kansas couldn't even beat Oregon at the Sprint Center a couple of years ago. So bring them on. Wildcats be dancing. We got Barry. Hopefully Dean is feeling okay, and we got this b***h. Weber out.
Hopefully Dean is feeling okay. I feel like the Dean Wade situation has gotten worse over the last couple of days. He was on the NCAA bracket show in a walking boot. Now, I'm no doctor, but K-State, at least when he's on the TV, at least make us think he's going to play. Have him in the back where we can't see his leg. They have my man positioned right in the front. They did a spotlight shadow on the crutches and the boots on his leg. I'm telling you guys, the only person who has worse foot issues than Dean Wade is Sammy Watkins. Every 5 weeks, we're talking about Dean Wade's foot every week. Why does this continue to be an issue? I'm just saying to the Emaw gods, to the Eco Cat gods, and maybe I should have known this the moment that I became a K-State fan, that their best player was going to be injured.
You did this.
I'm used to that. So I take full responsibility if that's what happened, K-State fan. All I'm asking is you maybe don't need Dean to beat the first round game. You probably need him for the second one. So if you got to do some Dr. Quinn medicine woman, if you got to hit up Joe Boo and Pedro Serrano to release some voodoo to heal his leg, I'm just asking for six more games of healthy Dean Wade, or healthy enough to at least get on the court. I'm not saying he's going to be 100%. Can he be 85? Can he be enough to get you up and down the court and be healthy and give you 15, 20, 25 minutes? That's all I'm asking. Not much else. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get back into the Kansas City Chiefs and talk about their checklist. And I think it's becoming pretty apparent what the Chiefs were shopping for this free agency. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.